Hey guys, this is Brandon, and you're listening to the Ordinary Radical Podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Ordinary Radical Podcast, hosted by Jonathan Hashi and the co-host,
Brandon Boatner.
Ordinary Radicals is a podcast of discipleship and biblical living, featuring conversation and Q&As concerning a wide variety of topics to help you grow as disciples of the local church through leadership, discipleship, and mission.
Yo, man. Hey, before we jump into our topic today, big news last night.
Huge news.
Right? The Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
So congratulations, folks from KC. And it's a big win for Missouri too.
Man, we got the Stanley Cup, and now we got
the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and so
I've heard people. Show me start.
You know, I'm originally from Texas, but my Cowboys and stuff haven't done well for 20 years. So
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna have to love on the Chiefs. I'm gonna have to claim them or something. You know.
You know, I predicted it was going to be like 37-21.
Yeah.
So it was kind of close, 31-20. It was an incredible game.
Yeah, and they ended up winning the game just like their last playoff games where they were behind and they come back and they whoop.
Yeah, you know? Pretty incredible stuff. Pretty incredible.
So my kids got to stay up, but we got an interesting topic today, and we're jumping into an area that is very relevant, especially right now in the year 2020, and that is politics in the gospel. And this is important because we have an election year coming up, and so it's everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you and I were talking about before we, you know, jumped in this, you know, conversation. But, you know, they say there's three things that you cannot talk about. One, politics. Second, religion. And then money. So, hey, we could use some grace and prayer here as we kind of try to dive into this conversation as we talk about politics in the gospel.
Yeah, and it's a divisive issue. I mean, I've been under many different pastors, and I've read social media. I'm thinking of a couple different pastors. I read one the other day that said basically Trump is the devil, and I thought, wow, that's pretty heavy-handed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't like the Donald Trump, to call him the devil is pretty heavy-handed. And then on the other side, I heard a pastor say, look, if you love Jesus, you cannot vote Democrat. And so you got this area that is incredibly stigmatizing to the church. It's way divisive, completely divisive, which is not really what Jesus is about, like, in the church.
Yeah, I was reading a book recently. It's by Jonathan Lehman. He's the editorial director for the Nine Marks Ministry. And this book is called How the Nation Rage, Rethinking Faith and Politics in a Divided Age. And he talks about this tension. If you even look at the book, there's two boxing gloves, one with the donkey, one with the elephant. And there's a church right in the middle of it. I think that kind of really paints the picture. That it's unfortunate,
mm-hmm.
but I think what the world has done, and then the church has been convinced, which we're kind of diving in the first point already, that we cannot talk about politics in the church.
Mm-hmm. It feels that way. I had a couple over to my house the other day, and I was talking about the church plant remix that I'm involved in, and the guy that was there, we had a great conversation, great night, and he just let me know, hey, that's what you know, I lean very far left. But what he was really saying was, look, you and I, we wouldn't be able to talk, we wouldn't be able to get along. And that's really unfortunate that he feels that way, because I don't feel that way. I want to be able to talk about the subject in a genuine way, in a loving way.
Yeah, so again, even that term, the left and the right, you know, I remember listening to Albert Mohler's debriefing. You know, what was happening generally, they because it was, let's say, a Democrat and a Republican,
mm-hmm.
people couldn't get along at all. So what happened was that people began to sit on the very edge on mm-hmm. one side, the left, and the other side on the right, because they couldn't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's a problem when we find that within the church. Which, yeah, let's just dive in. Let's talk about the first point as we kind of dive in this main big topic as we have it here.
Yeah, and so we're going to get to this idea of just relevance. The church wants to be relevant to the social issues going on. Jesus remained relevant. I think of a verse, and I can't quote the address for you, but Jesus was talking And he talks about a tower that had fallen. And that was just public news at the time. So he was relevant to the public news. And he used that information to further the kingdom of God. We want to remain relevant, but most pastors, they really are willfully ignorant on politics. I'm not saying that they're ignorant. I'm saying willfully they don't talk about it and they act like they can't talk about it. But they have points of views and things.
Yeah, so I mean, just a disclaimer, this is hard for me to talk about personally.
Right.
I myself am serving as a commissioner of human rights. So the Missouri Human Rights Commission, I serve in that area. And it's a certain political bent of a party. And so I was recently at the state capital of Missouri and meeting with a legislator, a senator, or a governor. And there's many areas that intersect, even as a clergy, as a pastor. So this is close to my heart. But, you know, one of the things, you know, we want to be biblical. We want to turn to scripture. So I think about Matthew 22. You know, we think about, you know, religion and government and politics. In that conversation where see, you know, Jesus says, you know, what renders to Caesar is, you know, to Caesar, and what renders to God, God. And mm-hmm. I think the Western interpretation of that scripture is that, okay, well, so you got to put, you know, Caesar, the government, and God, and that's two different things, and it's two different animals, so then you stay on this camp, and you cannot enter that territory. And I just don't think that's a faithful, biblical exegesis of the context of what Jesus was talking about there.
Yeah, you have to enter that territory. Why? You know, last night I'm watching the Super Bowl, and there is ad after ad after ad for political parties. And they're not from a Christian standpoint. They're not from a biblical or a kingdom-minded standpoint. And people, we sway based on what we know. Just to dive into who I am, a little bit about me. Whenever I was in college, I would have been what they would call left-leaning. And that's because in college, that's pretty much the only side point of view I ever heard, right? Then I got out of college and I swung as far as I could to the right because I went into full-time church, and that's all I heard was, you know, the one pastor who said, if you love Jesus, you can't vote Democrat. And so you have this massive swing. What we need is not just relevance, we need truth. And, you know, in a little while we have a video we'll play, but in that video, right before the clip we're going to play, Andy Stanley's talking, and he says what I felt a long time. I could, if someone asked me to preach a sermon pro-Democrat, I could do that biblically. If someone asked me to preach a sermon pro-Republican, I could do that biblically. Both have biblical points, and both use the same scriptures to argue those same biblical points. And so we need to be relevant. We need to be open.
Yeah, so just kind of piggyback on that, you know, I do think, you know, There are issues that it's so black and white that scripture speaks about. For instance, I am a pro-life.
Sure.
I am pro-life. I love children. Therefore, I hate abortion. You know, just like, you know, God loves people because he hates sin, because it separates him in that fellowship. In the same way, there's certain things we need to be unapologetically stands, a certain position, but we are not saying the church is a Republican church. Mm-hmm. That is not what we're saying. So we got to stand for the sanctity of life and marriage and preciousness of religious liberty. All those things really matter, but that doesn't make us separate, and because we don't put that first and foremost. So kind of segmenting. Let's go ahead and go to the second point in the video that you were just mentioning about.
Yeah, so let me just I'll talk about this video real quick. And it's Andy Stanley. He's talking about government, and it's just going to be about a minute. And he's going to talk about Tony Evans. And so just take a listen.
When I was in graduate school, he was one of my professors. And he said something. This is almost 40 years ago, and I remember this. He said, Jesus did not come to take sides. He came to take over. But he said it a lot better than I just did, okay? It was so powerful. I never forgot that. And he's absolutely right. The kingdom of God will always, in some detail and at some level, conflict with the kingdoms of men. And the kingdom of God will always, at some level and some detail, conflict with your political party and the platform of your political party and our political candidates. There's always going to be a tension. And this is why it is absolutely foolish. It is so foolish for the church to ever be divided over a candidate or over a political party. Because at the end of the day, no political party is probably going to line up with the kingdom values of Jesus, although each party has a little bit of it, even though that's difficult for some of us to acknowledge. But again, it's foolish for us to be divided because we're supposed to be kingdom people first and political people second.
So that's that video. And it's just a good word from Andy Stanley. Be kingdom people first and political people second. That's what he's saying. Jesus is King.
Yeah, so, you know, just kind of the idea, it's King Jesus. So it's really, really not neither the left nor the right. It seems like to me that, you know, it's when we talk about politics in this in the secular world, we're talking about it's the battle of gods. When we talk about gods, we're talking about capital G, God, and lowercase g, because people do have agendas and they want to talk about these issues, such as, you know, I was hearing this conversation, such as the lingual of the American experiment. Let's talk about freedom, equality, rights. Mm-hmm. So if your teenage child has an issue of, you know, let's say it was a huge conversation a couple of weeks ago in Louisville of a girl who brought a rainbow cake and a rainbow sweater at a Christian school, a pretty well-known one, and celebrating her birthday for, you know, the, you know, LGBTQ issue. And she was expelled, actually. And we're not going to go dive into all that thing. But, you know, in her mind, she's like, well, I have the freedom of speech and whatever I want to do. And we're all equal because we're human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's my right. But not under the banner of scripture in that Christian school that has put these requirements and so forth of religious liberty. And that was a major contention of argument that the National News actually picked up. But again, the idea is King Jesus. King Jesus is the one that governs the idea of politics and so forth. So we're not saying, like, the first, the willful ignorance that we don't talk at all. It's not that Christians don't have anything to say about Washington, D.C. or Rome, but it should never just be the ultimate focus of the church. Then our message become obscure.
Yeah, I think when I look at politics, I kind of think about the verse where the sons of thunder are arguing about who's going to sit at the left and the right hand of Jesus. You know, and what does Jesus say? He was like, it's not up for me to put either one of you there. First of all, you couldn't even handle that. We kind of look at politics a little bit like that. Like, no, one of us needs to be, we're the right-hand man to Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, I'm the king. I'm in control. You just know your role. So I think of it like that. And what that is that humbles us. If we could come at the conversation of politics with humility and an open mind, it would make such a big difference. And I think about something you said earlier. You said we have to stand on the sanctity of life. And this is something that I think about. You know, I do want babies to be born, and I do believe they're babies. But the other side of that is the sanctity of life goes on into an adult. And I do want to see people who are in need find what they need to better their lives and to better their situations. And so, to me, there's just both sides can be true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and we got to realize there is a tension. Ignore that.
Yeah.
And we got to be conscientious about these things as followers of Christ. And we need to disagree on, you know, certain things, but the best application and, you know, how things would turn out in social policies and issues. But I don't think Scripture draws a solid line on certain things. So that's where you, like, said we need humility, we need grace, and we need discernment, wisdom, mm-hmm. from heaven above to understand. And also I would say one thing is that let's not confuse the church, the role of the church, and the role of the government, because, mm-hmm. you know, who can change the heart of man? It's only God. So politics itself cannot change the heart of the church. So, you know, or confidence is not in politics. The confidence is not in this government, because all authority and power has been given unto Christ, right? We see that in Matthew. So our allegiance and our faithful loyalty lies to King Jesus, and we follow him and we honor him rather than leaning towards politics. And it doesn't mean that we're silent, we don't engage in those areas, but we're recognizing our first and foremost loyalty lies to King Jesus in advancing the kingdom of God, which kind of ties into the third point of the kingdom and the message.
Yeah, the gospel above all. Yeah, we want to live out the gospel. It's more important than anything. It's more important than politics. And I want to live out the fullness of the gospel. And whenever I you hear me talk about that, it's something that's dear to me. And the fullness is we can be made right and have a relationship with God, and we can be made right and have a relationship with each other. And so that the gospel unites us.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be more important than anything else.
Absolutely. You know, I was just talking about Matthew 11, where we see Jesus select the disciples, the 12 disciples. And I don't think it was by accident that we see Jesus selected Matthew, the tax collector, and then Simon, the zealot. If you know, give a little background of context there. Just so you know, Simon the Zealot. Zealot is a modern terrorist. They were against the Roman Empire. They were cruel. They were terrible against the Jewish people. And then Matthew, the tax collector, well, he was like, well, we can't do anything about Rome, so we're going to work under him, and we're going to cheat the system, and we're going to betray our own people. Can you imagine the conversation around the table,
right,
how it went? But, however, because of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were able to be united together of a common mind, that there was a mission that was given to expand the kingdom. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And they became the world changers. Later in the early church, until this day, the faith that's been delivered to all the saints, because of their faithfulness and because they were united around the gospel.
Yeah, and you say united, but that's you think about that table. Jesus is the head of that table, and Jesus has to be the head of ours. He has to be the head of our life, and in humility, we got to come before him as we talk about these issues, and we know that.
Yeah, and again, when we talk about the gospel message, I just want to be crystal clear. The gospel centrality, it is not a social message. It's not a political message. It is not a moral message. It's not a therapeutic message. But it's the message of sin, salvation, and forgiveness. So I think where Paul says, he says, this is the first and foremost, right? So he recognized, yeah, politics is important, but let's not let it obscure our message. Let's not have it pervert our message. Let's remember why we exist as the people of God, because the unity in our churches around the gospel is more important than absolute uniformity to our politics. So I think that's where, you know, amid our political discord, church leadership needs to put the mission of Jesus, the gospel, first and foremost, and continue on what we have been called to see men, women, boys, and girls, young and old, to be saved, baptized, added to the church.
Yeah, and it comes down to identity as well. Like, when people know me, I want my identity as Christian to be at the very top of what they notice. I don't think that's true for most people, though. I think they look at someone and they know he's a Republican, they know he's this, he knows this, or they know this person's Democrat, this. No, I need Christian to be up there. I'm a Christ follower, and I love Jesus, and I love you. I love people. Yeah, man, it's a hard subject, isn't it? But it's just important.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know it's a huge topic, but I think we're coming to an end to our part. Feel free to, you know, jot a comment or question, and we'll love to further the conversation in another episode if needed. But thank you so much for those who are subscribing, listening faithfully. We want to continue to provide resources and information that's helpful for the church and helpful for believers all across the globe. There are many listeners who comment and appreciate those affirming words. So if you haven't, you can go to either iTunes or Google Play, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review. I'm not saying that ignorantly. But that's going to help us continue on for us providing resources and information that will equip the church and edify the church and strengthen the church.
Hey guys, we appreciate you. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. All right.